Amen. Thank you for that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight back to the book of Psalms 127, the 127th Psalm. Psalm 127 is where we're going to find our text and continue our study in being under pressure. And we're talking about the pressures of parenting. And certainly there's a lot of pressure that comes from being a parent. And we want to learn how to deal with that pressure biblically and rise to the challenge of raising up our children for the Lord. And if you're able, let's stand together. We're in Psalm 127 and we're going to read through that together tonight. The Word of God says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a reward. They give happiness and joy. And we want to take those children that God has given us. We want to raise them up for his honor and glory. I want to remind you before we pray together, some of you are young and you don't have kids, you don't have a spouse yet, but one day God may bless you with kids, and I'm going to give you some things that will help you to be a good parent. Some of you have children at home right now, and it's not too late. We can't change yesterday, but today we can implement the truth of the Word of God to help us raise up our children right. Some of your children are gone from home, and you think, well, I'm done, but you still have tremendous influence over your children and your grandchildren, and we want to take the principles that apply. So this hits everybody tonight. Nobody's exempt because we want to take these biblical principles and apply them wherever we are in our lives. So let's pray that God will do that tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come and sing your praises. And thank you that you answer prayer. God, we pray tonight that you would help us to understand your word and to apply it in our lives. Lord, that you would put it in our hearts and minds in such a way that we won't walk away from this place tonight forgetting the things that we've seen and heard, but that we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, help us to be mindful of your truth and to apply it in our lives, especially in the times when it's difficult. Please give us grace and help, Father. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. We pray that your will be done in our lives, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to kind of bring you back up to speed real quick. If you weren't here last time, just remind you of some things we talked about very quick. All right, you ready? I'll take that as a resounding no. All right, ready or not? Children are a blessing from God. Amen. Children are a blessing from God. We talked about the reality that in our culture today, some people act like the worst thing that could happen to a young woman is that she would become pregnant. They think that's like the worst thing that can happen, but children are a blessing from God and should be treated as such. We were reminded last week that there are no accidents, that God gives life. God's the one who gives life. No child is an accident, and children shouldn't be treated as such. We talked a little bit about the heart of a parent last time. We talked about some of the things that people kind of have in their heart. One of the reasons, some of the reasons why they like to have kids or hope to have kids. We talked about comparison. We talked about the love that a child can give you. We talked about trying to impress others, keeping up with the Joneses. We talked about trying to fill a void in our life. There's lots of reasons that people want to have children, but the reality is children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from God, and your children aren't for you. They're for the Lord. Amen. You just get them for a little while. And our goal is to train them up to be followers of Christ, to give their hearts to God and to live for him. And so having kids isn't really about us at all. We talked about some of the pitfalls of parenting, and Lord knows that there are some dangers with parenting. And sometimes we can fall into those, so we want to be aware of them. One of the things we talked about is I'm going to spend every moment possible with this child, how people just think they're going to devote every waking second to their child, and we understand that we can't do that. We talked about I'm going to build my life around this child. Our goal is not to live our life for our kids, but to teach our kids to live their lives for God. We talked about, I'm never going to let this child out of my sight. I don't know how long that would last, because it comes a point where parents can't wait to get their kids out of their sight. Now, we want to guard our children from the world, but we need to prepare them to be sent out into the world. We want to be careful about that, have wisdom about that. We don't want to do it too early, but we don't want to completely shield them from everything negative. I'm going to shield my child from everything negative. Now, don't misunderstand this point. I'm not saying, hey, listen, let your kids watch whatever they want to. I'm not saying let your kids go to whatever website they want to. I'm not saying let your kids have whatever app they want to. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we can't shield them from the realities of the negative effects of sin. And the way that we help them understand the negative effects of sin is by serving people whose lives have been devastated by sin. We go out into the community and we share the gospel with people so our kids can see, hey, listen, this is what happens when you don't know Jesus. This is what happens when you don't live for God. This is what happens when you don't apply biblical principles to your life. And what we want to do as Christians is help people to come to Christ. Amen. We want to help people whose lives are being destroyed by sin. And so we're not sheltering them from sin. It's not that we never let them know what's going on in the real world, but our viewpoint is completely different. This is not who we want to be. This is not the way we want to live our life, but we want to help people know that there is a way of everlasting life. Amen. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. We ended last time with this last point. If I teach my children to obey, that is enough. And we ended with this understanding. Your children and your grandchildren need more than a set of rules. They need relationship. If they're ever going to learn to have the right kind of relationship with God, you've got to teach them to have the right relationship with you. See, if you teach your kids that it's all a bunch of rules and regulations and you just got your thumb on them their whole life and they don't ever learn to apply biblical principles themselves, then when your child gets out from under your thumb, they go crazy. But when you teach them to love God and to have a relationship with Christ, and to learn biblical principles and develop standards for their life based on what the Word of God says, then they're equipped to go into the world and live for God. Amen. And that happens when you have a relationship with them. It can't just be rules. It's got to be relationship between you and your child. Your children need to know that you love them no matter what. Amen. They need to know that you love them no matter what. It doesn't mean you're not going to be disappointed. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have to chastise them or correct them. But it means that they know they're loved no matter what. They need that. Discipline without a loving relationship is ineffective and harmful. Discipline without a loving relationship is harmful. But a loving relationship combined with consistent biblical discipline brings success. Next, let's talk about this. Pass it on. Pass it on. Most parents want to see their kids succeed as adults. Right? Like, if you're a parent that says, I don't really care whether my kid succeeds or not, then there's something else wrong. Now, our definition of success needs to be biblically based, not worldly based. But we want our children to be successful. Most Christian parents want their children to have a heart to fail God, to serve God, but what we fail to recognize is that these objectives require work. We want our kids to be successful. We want them to develop a heart for God, but it requires effort on our part. Amen. It doesn't just happen accidentally. Parents around our country, even Christian parents, are raising a generation of pampered, protected, self-centered brats. Some of us in this room may have experienced a little bit of that. But all of us see the effects of it. People refuse to correct their children when they're young and they wrongly assume that they'll turn out all right. But when that child becomes a sullen, rebellious young adult, parents wonder, what went wrong? Worldly methods of parenting will never produce good results. We've got to get biblical parenting into our homes. Now, I want to say this. If you think that just bringing your kids to church, if we just do our thing at home, but we make sure that they're in church, then that'll be good enough, you have missed the boat. Amen. And I would like to invite you to get back on the boat tonight. You have to teach at home the principles of the Word of God. And more importantly, you have to live the principles of the Word of God at home. I can't tell you how many people I have met, how many people I have read about, how many people I have seen videos of who were raised in Christian homes and have left the faith. And one of their biggest reasons, there are a lot of reasons, you can't just blame it on one thing, but one of the biggest reasons is because mom and dad that they saw at church were not mom and dad that they saw at home. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, your kids aren't stupid. They know what's real. Amen. And what you live at home is what's real. Let's face the facts. We're just in church for a little bit at a time. Amen. We've got to live it. It's got to be real at home. We want to pass it on because our children are not for us. Man, I promise you, if your kids, even if they stay home through college age, that's not very long. You just get them for a little while, and our job is to prepare them to send them out into the world to be what God has called them to be. And what we're doing is preparing them not for ourselves, but really for the next generation. Think about this. You, if you have kids at home, you are raising your grandchildren's parents. Now that's a horrible thought for me right now. I'm just be honest with you. It kind of hurts me a little bit right here. But that's what we're doing. We're raising our grandchildren's parents. What we're doing in their lives now is not just going to affect them. That's weighty enough, but it affects their children and their children's children. So it matters. It's a heritage. A heritage is something that you pass on from generation to generation. An inheritance is not something that we take credit for. And we need to get this. Your children are not for us to keep. Our children are to give back to the Lord. We read in Psalm 127, verse 4, he describes children as arrows. Well, I want you to think in Bible times, right? In today's military, if we want to reach out, we use sniper rifles, right? Reach out and touch somebody with a sniper rifle. In biblical days, there was a lot of hand-to-hand combat. There were a lot of hand weapons. There were a lot of close quarters combat. But when you had a bow and arrow, you could be effective from a distance. Everybody with me? An arrow allows you to reach out further. You know, that's really what our kids allow us to do. They let us have an impact from a distance. Our children should be an extension of our life and ministry for God that only gets better and better. I know that my parents wanted me to be better and do better than they did in their lives. Yeah? I don't want my kids to make the same stupid mistakes I made. I want them to do better. I don't want them to wait until later in life to love Jesus and study the Word of God and grow and serve others. I want them to do it now. And I want their impact to be far greater than my impact will ever be in this world. And I want their children to have a greater impact than they have, and their children's children to have a greater impact still. That's what it's about. It's a heritage. Your children are going to train your grandchildren, and your grandchildren will train your great-grandchildren. So we just get them for a little while, and then we have to send them out. Let's talk about the priority of biblical parenting. the priority of biblical parenting. If our kids are like arrows, then we want to make sure we send them in the right direction, right? If you shoot a bow, you understand how important it is to practice. You understand how much practice it takes to hit the target, right? But we want to make sure that we get them aimed in the right direction. I'm afraid that a lot of people are sending their kids out in the world with no thought. They're just blindly firing their arrows out into wherever. But we want to take careful aim so they hit the mark that God's called them to hit. First of all, God requires that we train our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Hebrew word translated train is the word for sharpening something like an axe or a sword or the tip of an arrow. It implies careful and repeated process of honing to reach the desired result. Biblical training of your children is not a casual or occasional process. It requires repetition, and it requires consistency, and it requires dedication, and it requires love. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever sharpened anything by hand? Can I just see your hands real quick? Okay? If you've ever sharpened something by hand, you understand that it's a process. Now, there's machines for that. You just zip, and it's done. I kind of like that. But it doesn't work that way with your kids. It takes consistency, and it takes repetition, and you have to stay at it to get the right kind of result. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I want you to look at this verse one more time, and I want to take just a little side note. This verse says that when you train a child right, he won't depart from. A lot of times we use this verse to talk about if you train up a child and they get out of the way, that they'll come back. I believe that's a biblical principle, that you give kids something to come back to, but that's not what this verse says. I would contend with you tonight that this verse says if you train them upright, they won't go away. Amen. This verse doesn't say anything about coming back. It says they won't depart. Amen. And it says when they get old. That means from the time you train them to the time they mature, that they'll stay faithful to God. Amen. Now, I want to temper that a little bit because this is important. This is a proverb. You train your child in every way that's right, and they still have a free will and can choose to rebel against God. Okay? But I want to say this. I want to do everything I can to train my kids upright. I want to do everything that I can. I don't want it to be my fault that they get away. That I've loved them and I've trained them the best that I could. But they still have to make their own choice one day. They still have free will. God blesses parents who are consistent. I think consistency is one of the hardest things to do as a parent. Let's just take a poll real quick. How many of you, for the same stupid thing your kid did, I know some of you just got offended, but listen, your kids do stupid things, so do mine. And all the people said, amen. All right. How many of you, for the same offense, have dealt with that offense differently? Like, sometimes you come down on them real hard, and sometimes you let it slide. How many of you have been, anybody? Some of you are like, no, I'm always consistent. It's always the same. My attitude is always the same. My temper is always the same. Well, good for you. I'm very impressed with your humility to say that tonight. I'm going to say that most of us have been guilty of inconsistency. Inconsistency. It's really important to be consistent. We have to consistently love them. We also have to consistently maintain the same standards, and that's hard to do. It's very difficult to do. We can't parent based on how we feel. We can't discipline our kids based on whether we're tired or grumpy or happy or, right? My discipline of my children can't depend on whether there's still cookies in the house or not. That's meddling, isn't it? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. says, "And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We want to train them up. That means that we're trying to sharpen them. We are training them. We are teaching them. We are preparing them. We're doing that consistently and lovingly. And next, we want to be careful to not provoke. Provoke not. Don't provoke your kids to wrath. I think that it's interesting that this is directed directly to fathers. Dads, pay attention, because it's real easy for us to do this. There's a lot of different ways that we can provoke our kids to wrath. One of the ways that we could do it is dealing with them angrily. When you deal with your children in anger, you teach them to be angry, and we provoke them to have an angry response. Now, most men that I've ever known in the world have an anger problem. Not all of them, but most men have an anger problem. And so we've got to really guard against this. The Word of God says it. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So don't deal with them in wrath. One of the other ways that we can be very easily provoke our children to wrath is to be mocking towards our children. We can be antagonistic. We can be belittling. We can really put our kids down. And if you put a kid down enough, they're going to respond sooner or later. That wrath is going to build up with them. How do you know? Well, just think about the old schoolyard. You ever see that kid that just got picked at and picked at and picked at and picked at and picked at every day, relentlessly, over and over? Everybody put him down. Everybody picked on him. And one day, something happened. And they lost it. Anybody seen that happen before? Like they had enough. Some of you are like, "I've been that kid. It's enough. I can't take it anymore." And what do? They respond with anger and with wrath. Why? Because they've been belittled and they've been put down and they've been ridiculed so long. Hey, dads, we need to learn to be encouragers to our kids. It's hard. It's hard to correct your child without belittling them. We've got to learn to do that. It doesn't mean that we let everything slide. It doesn't mean that we don't expect more. It doesn't mean that we don't challenge them to try harder. But we've got to learn to do that without putting them down. All right. Provoke not. Don't provoke them, but rather nurture them. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This word nurture has two different basic ideas. One is chastening, which is correction. We know about that, right? Chastening is that rod of correction. Chastening is when they are willfully disobedient, we give them the rod or the belt or the switch or whatever there happens to be handy at the time. We correct them, but it also has the idea of instruction. Listen, when you have to correct your children, when you have to chasten your children, it's an opportunity for teaching. You want them to understand why. It doesn't do any good if you just start welling on them. They have no idea what they did wrong. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, by my experience, my children never know what they did wrong. You can just ask them, "Do you know why Daddy's upset right now?" "No." No clue. Can't imagine what they ever did. "Well, did I just tell you to do A?" "Yes." "Did you do A?" "No." "Do you understand why you're in trouble?" "No." Right? We're slow learners. It's okay. We've got to give the correction and the instruction. Nurture. It's interesting to me that the word nurture is chastening and instruction. This gives me the picture in my mind of the tree. Have any of you ever planted a new tree? You plant that new tree, and sometimes you have to trim it up. You got to prune it. And then sometimes you got to put a stake or some guide ropes or something on it to get it to grow the right way. I think this is exactly the picture that we see in nurture. Because you got to get some things out of the way, some dead growth, some bad growth, some growth where it doesn't need to be. You've got to chasten it, you got to prune it, you got to correct some things, but then you've got to give it some instruction, you got to give it some guidance so it grows the right way. That's nurture. It's not all pleasant, it's not all fun, but what it does is helps that plant, it helps that child to grow in the right way. The next part is admonition. Admonition. This is calling attention to or warning. If you are not consistently warning your kids about the dangers of sin and the dangers of life and the dangers of getting away from God, that's we're failing in admonition. Admonition is a call of warning. Admonition is a call to attention. Okay? All right. Now, if you ever have the joy of teaching your small children to cook, I suggest that you try it because it's a lot of fun. Incredibly messy, but lots of fun. Now, when you start teaching your kids to do stuff in the kitchen, it's a dangerous place, right? Can openers, knives, ovens, hot stove, right? Admonition. Admonition is, watch out, don't burn yourself. I mean, we just had a 10-minute lecture on why the stove is hot, right? I said slow learnings. I'm sorry. But it's a call to warning. It's saying, hey, watch out. How many times have you had to tell your kids to pay attention? And all the people with little boys said, amen. The girls are better at paying attention, generally speaking. Generally speaking. Okay, at my house, the girls pay better attention than the boys do. And I'm just telling you that admonition is a call to pay attention, to watch out for the danger. We do that all through their lives. I although my kids work with me sometimes, and you're using a drill, or you're using a hammer, or you're using pliers, or you're using whatever, everything can hurt you. So what do you have to do? Call them to pay attention. Pay attention. Watch out. If you're not careful, that'll pinch your finger, right? Watch out. If you're not careful, you'll hurt yourself. And so we call them to attention. Your kids get a little bigger. You take them fishing. You take them hunting. What do you got to do? Watch out. Be careful. Watch out. You're going to hook your sister in the ear with the fishing lure, right? Okay. Just checking. It's admonition. It's a warning against danger. And we understand those things with the basic things of life, but so many times we miss it with the spiritual. We miss it with the spiritual. We're not paying attention to the dangers that they're facing with what they hear from their friends or what they're being taught in their textbooks or what they're watching on television or what they're engaging in on their social media. There are too many parents that have warned them, be careful, don't burn yourself on the stove, but they never say, you need to be careful about what your friends are saying to you at school. Not paying attention to what they're watching on YouTube. Not saying, hey, you need to stay away from that, that's dangerous. We're not warning about the things that can hurt them spiritually, which is far, far more dangerous than anything in your house. This is the spiritual dangers that they face in the world. So we got to learn to admonish them and warn them of the danger to come. You think about these things, this nurture, this instruction, this call to attention. And I couldn't help but think of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to look at it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. 2 Timothy 3. You guys are familiar with this passage, I know. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We know that, right? You're going to make a decision to live for God? Persecution's going to come. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, you're all familiar with, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that or so that the man of God may be perfect or mature or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we're going to teach our kids, first of all, we need to teach them the truth. We got to teach them the truth. The truth comes from the Word of God. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And if you don't think there are deceivers in the world today, you need to wake up. Because they're in the movies and they're in the TV shows and they're on the YouTube channels and they're all over social media. They're putting news out there. There are deceivers everywhere. And we need to guard them. We need to teach them the truth. Where are we going to get the truth? Well, he says in verse 14, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Truth comes from the Word of God. What's that mean? That means mom and dad need to know what the Bible says, and mom and dad need to teach their children what the Bible says. We've got to teach it at home, friends. We've got to teach it at home. So we've got to teach them the truth, and we've got to lead by example. He says, thou hast learned and hast been assured of whom thou hast learned them. Paul said, listen, we were examples to you. We were examples to you. And from a child, he learned the Holy Scriptures. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who taught him the Word of God, taught him to trust in God, taught him the way to follow God. And they led by example. Teach the truth, lead by example. So many people raise their kids by do as I say, not as I do. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We need to lead by example. We need to focus on the gospel. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I think every believer ought to be concerned about reaching other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every saved person ought to have something in them that says, I want to see others saved. But I think it's got to start at home. Amen. It's got to be everywhere, but especially at home. Amen. I know. Get real with you for just a second. I've known a lot of Christians in my life. In churches very much like this one. And I know in a lot of those homes, the gospel was never taught to their children at home. They thought, if I just get them to Sunday school, their Sunday school teacher will teach them about the gospel. They just thought, if I just have them in the preaching, then they'll hear the gospel in the preaching. One of the most heartbreaking realities in American Christianity is people who claim to know Christ, not even sharing Christ with their own children. If you're not teaching your kids the gospel from the time they're little bitty, and all the way through their life, you need to start. You need to start. You need to talk to them about the fact that they're sinners and they need a Savior. You need to teach them about who Jesus is and what he did for them on the cross. You need to help them to understand the reality of the price that Jesus paid and how through him alone we can come to God and get to heaven. We've got to lead by example. We've got to focus on the gospel. He says here that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed and it's profitable. And he tells us four ways that it's profitable. First of all, he says it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine tells us what is right. Doctrine teaches us what is right. If you will learn the Bible and teach your kids, you can teach them what's right. There's a lot in the world today that's telling them what's not right, but we need them to have the truth so they'll know what is right. That's how you recognize a counterfeit, is because you know the real thing. And so we want them to know what's right. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. Not only does it tell us what's right, it tells us what's not right. God's word doesn't just tell you the good stuff you want to hear. It tells you the stuff you need to hear. Amen. It tells you what's not right. It also tells you correction. It's profitable for correction, how to get right. God just doesn't leave us to our own devices. He doesn't just tell us we're wicked sinners and then leave us there. He tells us how to get right with him. And then he gives us instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. What is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. I read that in a book by Adrian Rogers years ago, and it stuck with me. It's been very helpful to me. And I just get a hold of that, because that's what our kids need. It's what our kids need. It's how we prepare them. The pattern in the Bible is for us to teach our kids day by day. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You need to get the word of God in your heart so it'll come out of your mouth, and we need to teach our kids all day, every day. There are opportunities to teach your kids about God all the time. Show them the truths of the word of God. Take advantage of the circumstances of life so that they can see the truth of God's word in everything in their life. They can see the truth in everything in their life from God's word. We've got to learn to train up our children in the right way. I want to tell you lastly tonight that parenting is a privilege. Parenting is a privilege. There are a lot of people who would give anything to have children, and they can't. Meanwhile, people are aborting their babies by the thousands, and it's a tragedy. The author of this book we're studying said, I remember begging God for years for a child. Finally, after 10 years of marriage, we adopted a daughter. 5 years after that, our second daughter was born. He said, I know what it's like to be desperate for a child. And he said, it grieves me when I hear people say things like, oh, these children, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't wait for school to start. Listen, parenting is an adventure. Parenting reveals a lot about who we are and what our heart's motives really are. Parenting will show you just how much you have to learn. We need to ask God for wisdom. We need to seek out wise counsel. We need to correct the things that are not right in our personal walk with God. But when we learn the Word of God and we parent by His Word, our children can grow up to know God. They can grow up to love God. And when we send them out into the world, they can live for God. I really want to be a man who parents after the Word of God. How about you? So you're like, listen, I don't have kids. I'm not going to have kids. But these principles apply to everyone we have influence over. So let's take them and apply them to our lives. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. Parenting is a privilege. And it's a parent's responsibility to teach your children at home. How much are we investing personally in our kids from the Word of God? I think right now would be a great opportunity to pray for yourself, to pray for your children, to pray for your grandchildren, to ask God for wisdom, and to ask God to help them to know Him and love Him. If He's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.